Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode in Tetra's Fireside Chat. I'm Magnus Wood. I'm Director of Marketing here at Tetra. And today we're going to be talking about an extremely important topic, which is resident engagement strategies. And joining me today is Richard Coleman, who is a health, safety and fire expert here at Tetra. We'll be discussing the importance of resident engagement strategies and what organisations need to know to ensure that their approach meets current regulations. But first of all, Richard, would you like to introduce yourself, say a little bit about yourself and what you do here at Tetra?
Sure. Thanks very much for having me, Magnus, first off. So my name is Richard Coleman. I am a chartered member of IOSH. So I've got a NEBOSH diploma. I generally work in sort of health, safety and fire specialities for training here at Tetra. And I deliver a range of courses to our clients around, you know, could be anything from sort of fire door checks, things like that, all the way up to sort of internal training for our team. So making our teams better, mental health, sort of all sorts of things, really.
Great, thank you. So one of the things that we're really keen at Tetra to do is to make things as clear and as simple and as easy to understand as possible. So let's start with resident engagement strategy. What is it? Just give us a kind of really clear overview.
Yeah, so a resident engagement strategy is generally designed by the principal accountable person. Now, a lot of the time when we say that, it's actually people think, oh, principal accountable person must be an individual, whereas actually that's not the case. It could indeed be a corporate body. But importantly, it's all about the information that they're giving to residents and also how they're involving them in terms of fire safety in the decision-making process.
Okay. Principal accountable person, just that's could be an organization, could be a person. How do you know if you're a principal accountable person or not?
So interestingly, when we talk about principal accountable person, so it's worth probably mentioning at this stage that the information here around resident engagement strategies actually only applies to high-rise buildings. So it's quite tricky because what we'd have is under the Regulatory Reform Fire Safety Order 2005, they call it a responsible person. But since they've brought in the new legislation from Grenfell, you've got the Fire Safety Act, the Building Safety Act, and under the Building Safety Act, it talks about a principal accountable person, which is somebody or an organisation with the overall control in relation to, the sort of fixing, if you like, of the building. So the common areas and all about, you know, how the building is essentially, it's maintained.
Okay, thank you. And a resident engagement strategy is part of the building safety case. Am I correct in that?
You are absolutely correct.
Good, good. And what are the legal requirements that organisations need to be aware of when they are creating their resident engagement strategies?
Yeah, so within the Building Safety Act, there's actually section 91 that talks specifically about resident engagement strategies. And it tells the principal accountable person what sort of things they need to do. So in there, it's, you know, about the creation of the strategy itself, but then it goes a little bit deeper and it talks about revising it. And obviously, importantly, legally, it also talks about acting upon it. So it will mention things like, if you are devising this strategy, then you need to make sure that you abide by what you've told them. Because after all, who would want to create some paperwork and then not follow what they've said they were going to do?
Hmm. And I think that's a really important point because the guidance highlights the importance of informing residents about building safety decisions. So what practical steps should organisations take to do that?
So I think probably in terms of the actual practical practical steps that an organisation can make would be, first off, is sitting down, almost having that thought process around what do we want to engage our residents in? So what do we want to talk to them about? And then really importantly, it's about the sort of communication methods, because as I'm sure you're aware, communication within your role is very important. And it's very much a two-way street. So it's got to be, what are we going to ask our residents about? But not only that, when we've got the information back, how are we going to use that information? How are we going to analyse it? And very importantly, how are we going to give feedback to our residents?
And I think you raise an important point there, because there's the strategy, which is how one communicates with the residents. Then there's the consulting part of it, which is, you know, them feeding back and us listening to what they've said and then acting on it. So what best practices would you recommend for effectively gathering and using resident feedback?
So I think in terms of actually gathering resident feedback, first of all, you've got to think about the communication medium. So how are we going to communicate with these people? So I would probably be looking at, it's definitely not going to be a one size fits all. So I would probably be going into the realms of thinking about, are we going to do this electronically? Is it going to be via email? I still know plenty of people from previous jobs that do not have an email address. They are just of that generation, or maybe they're not overly tech savvy and they just don't like it. So is it then a case of, well, we would need to communicate via written letters? Is it a knock on the door? How do we gather this information? Importantly then, once we've got that information, how do we store it? And again, how do we actually use it? What do we want to get out of it? A practical step could probably be looking at some sort of digital platform. I think we may go on to speak about this later. Mm-hmm. But actually thinking about, you know, maybe there's a digital platform that we've got to store it all securely and make sure that it's all obviously GDPR compliant.
Mm. It occurs to me that we have to actually define what a resident, why we're engaging with the residents in the first place, so that this doesn't come out of the blue and so they understand why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the important thing is there that, you know, the principal accountable person or the team that's involved in this is getting around, and it's also almost about how they are spreading the word. Because again, like you said, you don't want it to come out of the blue. So again, even before the resident engagement strategy is produced, you do have to do a little bit of blue sky thinking there, I think, about how we actually going to tell the residents about these sorts of things. Because again, it could be that you're organizing meetings and things like that beforehand, just to see what your engagement level is going to be like. I also think, having spoken to quite a few clients that Tetra deal with, I know that they are doing the good work around the resident engagement strategy, but maybe not getting the uptake that they were initially hoping for.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point, because a resident engagement strategy isn't like one and done. You know, it's a strategy because it basically is working out how best to communicate these points to the residents, how best to take their feedback, and how best to have an ongoing dialogue with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, it's, as you just mentioned there, it is that longer term, which is actually why the government guidance says that they need to periodically revise the strategy. So I think they've suggested at least sort of every 2 years off the top of my head, as well as, you know, if anything material changes within their building. And it's just, yeah, just generally that sort of longer term thought process. As you quite rightly said, it's not a one and done.
Mm. And we've talked about different channels. I mean, what factors should organisations consider to make their strategy as inclusive and effective as possible?
Yeah, I absolutely love this question, because even though we've already talked about the sort of technology element, there are so many other factors we need to consider. So we've certainly got to think about, in terms of like just general diversity, not everybody may have English as a first language. But again, I think it's people not going overboard. I've seen some great work by some of the councils that have started already diving into this. And what they've done is it's their opening page that they've converted into, I think, five or six sort of languages that make up a sort of large demographic of the sort of people that live in that area. But rather than convert the whole document, they've done the opening passage of, this is the resident engagement strategy, this is what it is, and then they've put it into their language to assist them in saying, look, if you need this converting, we will do it. Rather than obviously just go ahead and do the whole thing. But then we've got other things to think about. So we've got people with maybe limited sight, things like that. So we might need to consider Braille. Or again, as we're doing here on the podcast, maybe even audio, so that people can actually listen to it rather than obviously try and read it, as well as things like accessible formats. So maybe larger print text, things like that.
Great, thank you. And we've touched on technology, so we know that technology plays an enormous role in all communication today. How can digital tools improve the effectiveness of resident engagement strategies?
Yeah, so I think there's quite a wide sort of area that technology can play, specifically through either things like websites. I mean, there are now some really talented people out there that can develop apps and things like that. But ultimately as well, you've got to think about how we're storing our information. So I can't think if I said it at the beginning, but that golden thread of information. You mentioned earlier the building safety case. So as part of a building safety case, every principal accountable person, when they're invited to apply for a building assessment certificate, that golden thread of information, everything's got to be stored digitally. So actually, if they're already on board with this and they've got the means of perhaps storing all of the information, uploading what they've talked about, it's only going to help them in the longer term anyway.
Great, thank you. And so you've got your digital framework, you've put your tools in place, you've communicating with residents, you're doing it over the longer term. How do you know if it's succeeding or not?
Yeah, that is the challenge, isn't it? Because again, it's got to be almost reviewing all of the information that you've got. And I would probably say with that as well, it's when do you want to review this? Because again, you might find it's what we call a slow burner. So maybe you've got people, you sort of reassess 3 months down the line, see how much feedback you've had, and sort of do a little bit of a dive into the statistics you've got. And then you might want to do it again at 6 and 12 months to see if it's gathered any pace perhaps. But ultimately, it's because every organization is different, they've really got to sit there and try and consider how they are going to do that and what they want good to look like.
Great, thank you very much. That was excellent, really succinct and really sort of summed up some of the key things that we need to be aware of. Any final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners and our viewers on the importance of resident engagement strategies?
Yeah, I think I'd just like to get the point across that, resident engagement strategies are really absolutely crucially important, and they do form part of the building safety case. So in terms of it being a legal requirement as well, obviously that's there, but also from a moral point of view, I think just speaking to residents, talking to them about fire safety, it's all going to be a win-win, isn't it?
Thank you, Richard. Thank you very much for that. It gave us some clarity and some good insights there. We know that resident engagement strategies and resident engagement is something that people are asking us about all the time. We have these questions in our webinars. We have these questions when we're at trade events. Clients ask us these things all the time. So I'd encourage anyone who's been listening to this who would like to know more to visit Tetra Consulting and look at our website. We've got resources on there that can help you. You can ask us questions. Richard's more than happy to help out in any way. And also look at the UK government's guidance on preparing a resident engagement strategy. There is plenty of help and support out there. And I think the main thing is look for that. Ask us if you've got any questions, and we're here to help. But the key thing is to connect with your residents on a long-term basis and make sure that you're sharing information with them and that you're listening to them and answering their needs. Thank you very much. Look forward to seeing you on the next podcast.